Exodus 15 and 22, the Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" Praise God. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." I want to remind you this morning the backdrop for this text here and just kind of what's going on at this particular time in Israel's history. You remember that God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh. And the Bible says that they went out with a high hand. It just means that they went out rejoicing, celebrating that after 400 years of captivity, that they were being delivered from that bondage. They went out with a high hand, celebrating the dream has finally come true, that we are free after all of these many generations, free from the bondage of Egypt. It's a wonderful picture of our salvation and what the Lord has done for us in delivering us from sin, delivering us from the power of the enemy, and giving to us hope. Amen. When you get saved, you go out with a high hand, celebrating, praising God for what he has done in your life. Amen. And I'm not going to go through and read all of this, but I'm just going to paraphrase this. But then the Lord gives them direction. He tells them a particular way to go. And this way, and he says, you go this way. He gives them the directions, and then he says, Pharaoh will think you're being entangled. Pharaoh will think you're being trapped in this particular direction. But I have a plan. Egypt is going to know that I am God. Amen. Now, I want you to be reminded here today that if you're going through something that you do not understand, that it may seem like confusion for you, but God has a plan. And most of our troubles, our struggles, even our sicknesses, that God can reveal himself through that in some new ways. He can show himself strong to us in ways that we have never seen before. And so he said, you're going to go this pathway. And literally, it was going to take all of the children of Israel right up to the edge of the Red Sea. There were going to be mountain ranges on both sides of them. And behind them was going to be Pharaoh's army. It was a trap. And God had already said, Pharaoh will think that you are being entangled. Pharaoh will think you have been trapped. But I'm going to turn your trap into a wonderful victory and a wonderful deliverance. And I'm going to reveal my great power in your situation. Praise God. You know, another thing we need to be reminded of, for those of you that haven't been Christians very long, I want to remind you of this. That just because you got saved, that doesn't mean that Satan has given up. He's going to come after you. He's going to keep trying to get you. He wants to trip you up. He wants to stop you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to hinder you and throw all kinds of obstacles in your pathway. The Bible says that they went out rejoicing with a high hand,
But
Satan heart, or Pharaoh, Satan, Pharaoh hardened his heart and then began to pursue after them. The enemy doesn't give up easy. As a matter of fact, I've been saved for a really long time, and he still keeps trying to do things to get me discouraged. He keeps after me. If he's been after me after all these years, you can be sure if you're a new Christian, you are facing continual trials and the lies of the enemy, and he's pursuing you. He wants to destroy you. But God wants to reveal himself to you in new ways. And that's what happened in this story. Satan doesn't give up, but the Lord spoke to them. They said to Moses, "Why have you brought us out here? There were plenty of graveyards back in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? And in this way?" But the Lord spoke to Moses, and then Moses to the people, telling them, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Just wait and see. I will move." We want to move ourselves. We want to resolve our problems ourselves. But many times the Lord allows us to get into situations that we cannot do anything about it, because God wants to reveal that he is mighty. He is powerful, and he's the solution. He's the answer to your problem and to your circumstance. Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." That's one of my favorite phrases in the Old Testament. Because he said, okay, here's your enemy. They're pursuing you. They're after you. But instead of this being a day of defeat and destruction for you, I'm going to destroy your enemies forever, and you'll never have to worry with them again. Praise God. Amen. Some of you have had problems that you've dealt with for a long, long time, and you just need to get rid of them. Once and for all. Sometimes we carry fear. We carry burdens. And all kinds of trouble, and it just stays with us. But you need to trust in the Lord today. Put your confidence in him. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. God wants to reveal his mighty hand in your situation and to give you a complete and an utter victory. You'll never have to deal with this situation ever again. Praise God. Amen. Get rid of it once and for all. Amen, that you will never have to deal with that problem ever again. But here's a wonderful verse here, verse 14. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. Glory to God. That God has promised to come to your rescue, to fight your battle, and you just stand still, hold your peace, and see God's mighty hand deliver you and help you in the situation that you are in. Praise God. And then the Lord spoke and said, "Don't cry out to me anymore." Verse 15. "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Sometimes it's time to stop praying and start moving. Amen. Amen. Not that prayer isn't good and isn't important, but there are times when we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed. And now the Lord says, take a step forward. Move forward. Walk in obedience to me. And that's what they did that day. They stepped forward. And when they did, the greatest miracle in the history of Israel, maybe the greatest miracle in the Bible, took place. Because suddenly, the Red Sea that was in front of them, that obstacle that was in front of them, the wind began to blow. It became like a wall on both sides. And the children of Israel, can you imagine the victory? Can you imagine the joy of what God was doing as they walk through that on dry ground, walk through the Red Sea victorious and no doubt rejoicing? Amen. Praise God. As a matter of fact, another lesson here is this. Your biggest problem, whenever God moves in that, it becomes your greatest victory. Amen. Your biggest worry, your biggest circumstance that you're up against, when God moves, it's your greatest testimony. It's the greatest thing that you've ever experienced. Your biggest problem becomes your greatest victory. Put your trust in the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. Then in chapter 15, we read to you, in chapter 15 in verse 3, it says that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You see, what God does through trials, through problems, sometimes through sickness, through things that we don't understand, he shows that he wants to reveal himself to you in a new way, in a greater way, through that trouble, through that situation. God shows himself strong. And in this case, as they were rejoicing in chapter 15, when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, there's the song of Moses that they sing. Miriam gets all the ladies together with their tambourines, and they just shout and dance before the Lord. You talk about a wonderful time that they're having as they get to the other side, rejoicing in song and praise unto God. And right in the middle of that song is this phrase that I just read to you. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. That word there for the Lord is the word Jehovah. I forgot it. I didn't write it down. Anyway, it means the self-existent one. The self-existent one. That he's really all that you need. He's all that you need. The Lord is the one who can provide for you in your situation. Amen. So your greatest trials can become the greatest revelation of who God is, the greatest revelation of his mighty power, and that's what God can do. And you'll see that all through this text. And I'm leading up now to the text that we read here. The Bible says that in this song that Moses, it's called Moses' song, that it talks about the armies of Pharaoh sunk like stones, like rocks, to the bottom of the sea. Another phrase that says they sank like lead to the bottom of the sea. Amen. I mean, they're rejoicing. They're having a great time on the other side of this great victory. And you talk about a celebration. It was an amazing day of celebration. And that brings us to our text where we read to you at the beginning here in verse 22, where it says that Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now notice that the way to the promised land is through the wilderness. You have to realize that the pathway that God takes us on, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, he may lead you through the wilderness. He may lead you through some difficult times. He may lead you through some barren times, dry and desolate times. He may lead you. They went for 3 days. And how quickly we forget the mighty power of God. How quickly we forget what God has done for us. It would do us all well just to reflect on how God has answered prayer for you in this last year, in the last couple of years, in the last few years. It would be good for you to remember and reflect upon the faithfulness of God over these past years in your life. We are so forgetful. Human nature, I don't know. We just forget the good things. We forget the faithfulness of God. That's what the children of Israel did. It was only 3 days of wilderness. And they're already forgetting about this great celebration and victory that they had on the other side of the Red Sea. They're already forgetting that God has delivered them from Pharaoh and all of his armies. 3 days later, they are without water. They are in the wilderness. And they are forgetting. But God has done. And that brings them to the pool. After 3 days, they come to this body of water called Mara. The word Mara means bitter. And sometimes, I'm just going through this because this is how I felt like that the Lord was directing me as I was studying this text, to see all these different spiritual lessons in this text. Bitterness, when we think God has let us down. I mean, they were looking for water. Oh, God, we need water. God, we're thirsty. We need water. We need you to help us. And then they find water, and it is bitter. Sometimes we face disappointment. Sometimes we're even bitter toward God in our disappointments. Like, God, you've really messed up. You've let me down. You have not come through for me in this situation. Lord, you have failed me. This bitter water was undrinkable. It could not satisfy the needs that they had. But now the Lord speaks to Moses about a tree. There was a tree there, and Christy found a bunch of trees there in the picture. I don't know if there was that many trees or not, but we know there is at least one tree. And that tree, he said, throw it in the water. That tree was a looking to the cross. It was a looking to Jesus. It was looking to all that's complete in him, that he's the one. If you find yourself disappointed in your life, disappointed, let down in your circumstance, feel like God has failed you and disappointed you, you need to look to Jesus. You need to look to the gospel. You need to look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when the cross, the tree was thrown into that bitter circumstance, then the water becomes sweet, praise God. And they're able to be satisfied. And they have the water that they are in need of. I don't know who said this, but years ago I read this. Disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments are his appointments. There are times when we face things and we just think, Lord, what is going on? You have just let me down. You have failed me. And all the while, he's wanting you to look to him and look to the cross and look to all the wonderful provisions that are yours through Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he wants to reveal himself in your circumstance. If there is a lesson in all of these examples that I'm giving to you here today in the history and the life of Israel, it's that God uses our trouble, our problems, our circumstances to reveal himself to us in new ways. Amen. You can be bitter and stay that way, or you can allow the Lord to reveal himself to you in this situation. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. That's what he is. The same Lord who was with us in the beginning, and now he's with you in your present situation. Even if it's sickness or worry or fear or whatever that you're up against, he's with you, and he is. We need to look to him. Look to Jesus today. He's the answer to your present situation that you are in. Now notice the promise in verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. They had witnessed the Egyptians going through all these plagues and all these things. And he said, you are the people of God, and it's going to be different for you. If you'll follow me, if you'll obey my commandments, if you'll walk according to my will. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah Rapha. He's not just saying what I will do. He is saying who he is. I am the Lord who heals. He's describing himself. And so for Israel, they're learning something about God that they didn't know before. And many times we go through bitter circumstances. We go through hard circumstances, such as the wilderness. We face trials in our life. And if we would only look to the Lord, because He wants to reveal some new wonderful thing about Himself to you. Praise God. And in this case, it was, I'm the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who can heal you and will heal you in your present circumstances. Glory to God. He is a God that can touch and minister to you whatever you are in need of. And we can believe God. I don't know all the things that you're up against. Some of you are facing serious things. There's a lot of concern and fear and worry about sickness and disease. And but I just felt so impressed in my spirit that we need to really focus upon what the Word of God says about our healing and about the promise of God for our healing. Amen. And believe the Lord. Let me give you a few of the verses here. Exodus 23 and 25. I'm sorry I didn't get them to Brother Darrell to get them up on the screen, but just follow along with me. Exodus 23, 25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This is a promise of God to the people of God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7 and 15. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Special promises to the people of God. Amen. Another verse, Psalm 103 and verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I think most of us believe that when we got saved, that He cleansed all of our sin. He forgave all of our iniquities. Amen. But in the same phrase, He says, also, who heals all thy diseases. Amen. The same Lord who forgave all of your sins also forgives, or also heals, all of your diseases. Isaiah 53 and 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. There it is again, our sins. He was wounded for our forgiveness, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Praise God. And then in Matthew 8, and there's many other verses. Matthew 8 and verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled. Talking about Isaiah 53, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Amen. We need to believe God for our healing and for the healing of our loved ones, for the healing of these that are on this list and others that may have been omitted from the list. But we need to believe God and trust that God will move and touch and heal those that are sick. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Well, that's who He is. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He promised the people of God, and you and I are a part of that great group of people. No, we're not Jews by nationality, but we are grafted into the family of God as born-again Christians. We are saved, and we have all the benefits of forgiveness of sin and the healing in our physical bodies. Amen. And we need to believe God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for the many times that You have touched and healed our bodies. Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we're just praying this weekend, especially for a number of people that are very, very sick. And we know, Lord, that you can move for them. You can turn their situation. You can heal their bodies and deliver them, Lord. And through all of that we're going through, Lord, you can reveal yourself to us in new and wonderful ways. We can see your mighty hand. Just as you did for Israel, you revealed yourself as the God who fights their battles, the God who goes to war for them, the God that is the self-existent one, the God that can deliver, the God that can heal, the God that can provide and make that which is bitter sweet. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you can reveal yourself to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would heal the sick and minister to needs, Lord, today and tomorrow, Lord, and in these next coming days. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.